God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with all of you. I'm trying to speak a little more slowly because I can hear the sound reverberating quite a lot. And I know that then words get over top of each other and they're not always understood. So I haven't had a stroke, at least not yet. Somebody just turned down the sound. Can you hear me okay? All right, good. In your bulletin, you should have a little green sheet, and these are some notes on the sermon. I may have explained to you, maybe not, but probably about 35 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, I read a little story. It was about a missionary to China. It was in the years just before Mao Zedong took over and China officially went communist. This preacher was preaching on the street. When he got done, somebody came up out of the audience and said to him, "I'm a communist and we would never do what you did." And then he went on to explain, "We know that in 3 days people will forget what we said, but we give them a piece of literature because that will continue to work on them. And so I have given you a piece of literature in hopes that it will continue to work on you." Anyway, so you feel free to follow along on that. I may get things out of order. I may forget things. But you'll still get the whole general thing. The text for today is part of the Good Samaritan, the parable. And a young lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Again, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace be with you. Do you know the first rule of Holes? H-O-L-E-S. That is, when you've dug yourself into a hole and you realize it, stop digging. Don't get yourself even further embarrassed than you already are. This lawyer, in a way, had dug himself into a hole because as he was asking Jesus questions, mostly to put Jesus to a test, and there was a lot of that in the Gospels, they were looking for some excuse to do away with Jesus, to embarrass him, to trap him, to put him on trial for something that they could construe, something he had said, and so on. Are you still hearing me okay? Am I talking too fast? Okay. Anyway, so Jesus asked him a question. But what Jesus did, though, in answering the question that the lawyer then asked, "Who is my neighbor?" What Jesus did was he took him from nice theoretical things and he moved it to something very practical. Took it from a nice up-in-the-clouds discussion about what must I do to inherit eternal life to there was a guy once who. And that story was a very practical thing. It was something where somebody who was a hated Samaritan ended up showing a more godly attitude and course of action than someone who was the cream of the crop in Jewish society, both the priest and the Levite, and so on and so forth. When you think about that question and Jesus' answer to it, in a way is not always so easy for us either. Because what it does is it makes us look at ourselves. Now, a lot of times what's done with this is it's kind of a moralizing point. You need to be more like that Samaritan. You need to show love and mercy to those people who really irritate you and are difficult for you in this life and so on and so forth. That's usually the point that's made with this. And it's not a bad point. We probably all do need to do more of that and be more like the Samaritan. But the question really goes back to this. What must I do to receive, to have, to inherit eternal life? And even that word inherit is used different places in the New Testament. Eternal life is the inheritance that Jesus promises to us. And so the answer that the lawyer gives is a pretty good one. Love the Lord your God with everything that you are and have, and love your neighbor as yourself. There was a story in the news when I was working at preparing this some weeks ago. A story in the news about some young Jewish boys who saw a Muslim man drowning. They didn't particularly know at the time he was Muslim, but they rescued him. And they got him to shore, and they saved his life. And then they made sure he knew that it was four Jewish lads who had rescued him. Because Muslims are taught, if they're very ardent Muslims, that Jews are the vermin of the earth and so on and so forth. And they wanted him to know that it was four Jews who had shown mercy on him and who had helped him and who had rescued him. The man who was beaten and left probably was presumed by the priest and the Levite to be dead. I heard a little bit of commentary on that very reliable source, Facebook. Actually, it was a seminary professor who was on there. And he was talking about why the priest would be going down that road. First of all, a lot of priests lived in Jericho. And secondly, they took turns doing two-week duty stints in Jerusalem at the temple. And so he hadn't seen his family for 2 weeks, and he was probably on his way back home. And if he had any contact with a dead body, then he would be ritually unclean and unable to join his family. And so he probably, in zeal for God's law, decided that he would walk as far away as he could. And basically, probably the same thing happened with the Levite, because they were people who were descended from tribe of Levi, and the Aaronic priesthood, and so on, and would be very zealous for the letter of God's law as well. Over and over in the Bible, it says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." So Jesus would have wanted these people to show mercy, even if it was something that would contaminate them and cause them difficulty. But again, the original question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Who among you loves God perfectly with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind? When you moved your arm to change position, I thought you were raising your hand to say you do. Anyway, I have to say, I'm sure I do not. Who loves your neighbor as yourself? You know, my father had a saying, it was, after me, you come first. And that's probably true of most of us. We really look to ourselves and we want to take care of ourselves. One of Martin Luther's favorite definitions of sin was being curved in on yourself. He had spent a lot of time with Latin, and so he said it in Latin, but still it comes out the same. Being curved in on yourself so you can see only what you want, what you need, so on and so forth, and you have a hard time thinking about anybody else. I used to listen to shortwave radio. Now all that stuff has gone over. It's on the internet, and all you got to do is click a couple buttons and you can download it. You don't have to worry about atmospheric conditions and words that get blocked out by some static or something like that. But there was a story on shortwave radio from Martin Buber. Martin Buber's a German-Jewish philosopher. I think he's still living, but he's getting quite elderly if he is still living. He told this story about two men, and they were friends. One lived in the city, and the other came to visit the one who lived in the city. The one who lived in the city lived on a street that was very, very busy. And so the host, the friend who lived in the city, took his visitor, his friend, over to a window and had him look out the window and said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see many people walking back and forth by the side of the street." And so then the host took his friend to another room, and there was a large mirror on the wall. And he had him stand in front of the mirror, and he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see myself." And so the host said, "What's the difference between these two things? They're both glass, a mirror and a window. And yet when you look into one, you can see other people. When you look into the other, you can see only yourself." And so the guest said, "Well, there's a little silver on the back of the mirror." And the host said, "Isn't it interesting that when a little silver is involved, suddenly we can see only ourselves?" Obviously, he wasn't talking about the silver coating on the mirror, talking about what happens when you have the opportunity to get some money that you didn't otherwise have, even if maybe it should go to someone else. In a way, this lawyer was digging a hole for himself because he was getting himself to where he was going to be contradicting himself and unable to answer. You and I are also in a hole because of our sin. A number of years ago, probably about 3-4 decades, there was a fellow going around giving seminars about church leadership. And one of the things he talked about in his adult class, his adult instruction course, was about the difference between the Christian faith and other religions. And I don't remember all the details, but he went through all the different ones, whether it was Islam or whether it was Judaism or whether it was some other one. And basically, there's somebody who's in a hole, and there's a poisonous snake in that hole with them, and it's about ready to strike. And some of the religions, the man would walk by and he would say, "Oh, I see that you've fallen into a hole and you're about to be struck by a poisonous viper. Be well. Do good. All will come out okay." And then he walks on and offers no help. Somebody else came and offered all kinds of instructions about what to do when you're stuck in a hole and there's a viper about ready to strike you. And then Jesus came along and he jumped down into the hole with you and he lifted you out. And as he did, the viper struck him and he died. Of course, we also know that he rose again, too. But that was the difference between religions of the world and the Christian faith. Or as somebody said, "All the religions of the world are great to live by, but give me Christianity when it comes to dying. Because there you have a Savior who took your place, who took upon himself all of the things that are wrong with you, both what you did and should not have done and what you did not do but should have done. And he carried it to the cross so that believing in him, you can be forgiven and delivered and rescued." When you think about that, it kind of almost gives you a reason to look for people with Nike shoes so that you can tell them about the Christian meaning of that word and of those symbols. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.